The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 144. Excited to have Sean Manuel with us. Sean is the head strength coach at Bishop Gorman High School out in Las Vegas. Does a fantastic job. Their success is undeniable, and really excited to share this episode with you guys. Talk about a lot of great things, his journey as a professional athlete, and then into coaching, some of the mistakes that he's made along the way and how he's learned from them. And then just, you know, basically the secret to their success and what has led to Bishop Gorman being one of the top perennial football programs, but other sports as well in the country. So tons of great stuff in this episode. Before we get started, though, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsor for this one. This is Ignition APG. Ignition, obviously, it's combine time, and you know, they are a performance facility based in Cincinnati, and they have a major component of their overall program that is combine prep, and they do a fantastic job to bring guys in, and more so than most of the performance facilities that I've seen, they get guys that are fringe guys that weren't necessarily draft guys. That end up going off and doing some phenomenal things. I mean, Luke Kuechly was a guy that was obviously heralded a little bit, but has done phenomenal things and came through their system. But I want to make sure you guys know about their speed certification. Their speed certification, it's actually going to be April 21st and 22nd in Cincinnati. But it's right out Cincinnati at Prasco Laboratories, where it's their parent company. And I did this a few years back, got certified. Our staff's going down this year to get certified. And they do a fantastic job with it. And I think sometimes with certifications, it's important for you to be able to show advanced training and different aspects of things. A lot of times just to head things off. I mean, just to be able to head things off with your coaches. Hey, look, do you have a certification in this or not? I do. So therefore, let's yield to me and my expertise in this area. That's one way to use this. The second way to use it is they're very knowledgeable in this area. Obviously, training, you know, hundreds of athletes to become faster for the combine, and they've had records set and all those things. And so Ben and Cliff and Chad and everybody there do a phenomenal job, and great people first and foremost. They do it mind, body, and spirit. But then they also putting out some fantastic products, including their speed certification. So I'd recommend you do that. If you can't make it, they do offsite certifications as well. But reach out to them, and they'll follow up with you about what it takes to set one of those up. Lastly, before we get started, I want to make sure we all know about my newest podcast, Ask Coach Mac. Set this up just as a way for me to be able to answer a lot of the questions that I get all the time. I want to be able to do that so I answer it and share it with the masses, as opposed to one email at a time. And something early on in my career, I wanted to make sure that I got back to everybody through email, phone calls, things like that. And quite honestly, it's just gotten to be too much, you know, and being able to stay up with everything. I started this as an effort just to kind of be able to give back, answer questions I think a lot of people would identify with. And made it super simple. You just got to go to AskCoachMac.com and scroll to the bottom, and there's a widget there or on the sidebar where you can send a voicemail. Just send your voicemail question, and if it's something that I think that everybody would benefit from, then we'll definitely include it on the show. And go to iTunes, subscribe to it on iTunes, and you'll be able to hear all the different episodes. And gotten great feedback so far. Hopefully it continues to be that way, and Hopefully it's a great resource for everybody. But want to get to this episode, sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome back to Iron Gate Chalk Talk. Excited to have Sean Manuel with us today. He's the head strength coach of Bishop Gorman out in Las Vegas. And if you know anything about high school football, you know that they are a power, not just in football, multiple sports, but they were a powerhouse. Man, I wanted to have you on the show just to talk a little shop. So appreciate you coming on, man.
Ron, I appreciate you having me on here, buddy.
Hey, Sean, let's go into your story a little bit. Kind of how'd you get into strength and conditioning, and then what's led you to Bishop Gorman?
You know what? A couple things. I think early on playing, I got an opportunity to play in college, Division I scholarship. I got drafted to the NFL, San Francisco 49ers, 1996 with my twin. And I think, you know, during that time, my quest was always, how do I get better? What's the things out there? What are the modalities out there that will help me get better, to, you know, increase my performance, make me stronger, make me a better athlete? And I always had a hunger to understand those things to get better when I was playing. And I accumulated, I believe, a lot of knowledge. Like, I read a lot of books, even in college. The strength coach was one of our best friends. His name was Henry Schroker. He's now a scout for the Dallas Cowboys. And he was like our dad there. And he would always share the books. And, hey, this is, you know, rate of force, or this is this. Or he would talk to us about all these different things on plane flights, and always pricked my curiosity. And so I think when I got done playing, the other side of it was I had a lot of injuries that happened, and they shortchanged my career from different movement patterns that I had that I didn't know were dysfunctional, or I needed to correct them, or I had these imbalances and so forth. And so when I got out and started to have to work with some of these different things, I got permanent medical from the NFL, when I had to start working back and rehabilitating on my body, I started learning a lot of corrective measures that if I would have known before, could have, you know, put some time on my career, would have spared me a lot of different injury situations I got into. With those kind of things in mind, I started thinking, hey, what do I do with all this information? I'm done playing. What can I do with it?
Right.
And the best fit I could see, I love young men. I love seeing young men grow. I love seeing their character evolve and see them maximize their potential. And it was as good a feeling to me doing that as it was me playing, scoring, or any other different things. And I said, hey, what I'm going to do with this information I got is go give it back and see how I can help the next generation avoid some of these pitfalls, achieve some of their goals, maximize who they are as young men and people. And as I did that and saw it, I found a tremendous amount of fulfillment in it. And it just kind of feeds itself. Every year I go, how can I get better at what I do? How do I help more with these imbalances? You know, how do I, you know, make us more injury resistant? Okay, how do I increase performance? And it's just kind of evolved from there in that passion.
Sure.
and that love for seeing people get better.
What were some of the places that you'd work to kind of get to where you're at now?
You know, some of the biggest influences were coming out of college, NFL, watching what guys did. I was under Mike Barnes and some other different guys who did a great job.
Yep.
I got to California High School, and I started to implement what I knew then was NASM, the National Academy of Sports Medicine, because when I got done with football, everything was so performance-based but not corrective-based, and so I really drew to that towards that NASM. It was very corrective-based, like, hey, you got muscle length tension discrepancies. You need to iron them out, otherwise you get these compensation injuries. A weak glute, you know, gives you that Vulgus in the knee, and the vulgus in the knees was causing these, you know, medial collateral stretches and these lateral meniscus tears because of the impingements. And I'm looking at it going, oh, this is really fascinating. That where I started after I got done with pro ball, I started doing it in the high school.
Right.
And then kind of implementing these programs, stability stuff. After the stability stuff, we did a lot of flexibility, mobility stuff. And so then the head guy said, hey, you want to start doing this? I'll pay you. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And the school said, hey, if you want to, you're doing a good job with them. Hey, we'll pay you to do the whole school.
Right.
And then another school said, hey, if you do it, we'll pay you. We'll give you a contract to do it. And kind of built from there. Tony Sanchez got the job down here at Bishop Gorman. Absolute goldmine in terms of resource, athletes, support from the administration. He asked me to come down. I didn't come down initially. And then things kind of dissolved in the school district up where I was at. And he said, hey, I got a full-time job for you down here. high school strength and conditioning. There's benefits, you know, X, Y, and Z. This is, you know, you're on salary. This is what you got.
Right.
And for life choices, I made a decision to come down, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. It evolved from there in terms of learning, being able to devote myself full time, you know, just for football. I built library understanding, things that we did every year. We got better in things that we were trying to get done. I got better in my understanding, and we were able to build this facility, this 36,000 square foot facility with an 18,000 square foot floor. Wow. Where I was able to design it and help with it from with the architect from start to finish. Huge experience. We had Kaiser air units where we ran the conduits under the ground. They give you the power output, and they're the power racks.
Right.
We got the performance trainers, the triple trainers. We got 22 racks with those four Kaiser racks included. You know, eight Vertimax. I mean, we just, the things they allowed us to do to create an environment where we can make people as good as we can possibly make them.
Right.
Was created, and it's the most unique situation, one of the most unique situations I've ever seen in the country. In terms of people's commitment to...
You can see it behind you.
Oh, kids are getting better. I mean, you know, back there, with it's got a 60-yard track and so forth. So anyway, that was kind of my progression, my evolution. That's where we're at now.
Yeah.
In terms of the kids, the result has been, you know, we've won seven state titles consecutively. We've won two national USA Today national titles. And so it's been, you know, the success has been, has followed. But the reality of it is, it's, you know, it's been the support behind it and the work and the effort that's gone in, and then those things are just kind of the fruition and the fruit of that effort.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, obviously you've had lots of successes there, and with success obviously comes opportunities. And so, I mean, it's obvious just in talking to you just before and on camera here that you have a heart and a passion for young people, you know?
Yeah.
And there was probably opportunities to maybe even go back to the NFL or maybe go to a major college, or but you've chosen to be working with the high school athlete. What is it about the high school athlete that motivates you to wake up every day and go to work?
You know, high school is probably the most pliable the young men will ever be. It's the most influential time of their lives. They're coming out of, you know, going into adolescence and going through adolescence into adulthood. They're forming a lot of their perceptions about life and, you know, what it means, you know, whether to be a man, if it's the women's sports, what it is to be a woman, which I can't necessarily help with. But the man part, that's the part that drives. I see the biggest growth in these kids, but in their character.
Right.
They become as people. Their willingness to take in what you're saying and go, hey, I'm going to change my worldview or my life view in order to build my life. I'm going to let go of these false realities of this thinking that I have that's detrimental, self-destructive, that I think is valuable, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And they start to see it, and they can kind of piece those concepts together. And I watch those kids as they go on. Alize Jones is a good example. He's, you know, he played at Notre Dame this year as a true freshman. He was one of the number one tight ends in the country. He called me this year and was like, Coach, what you know, is invaluable. Mm-hmm. What you said and what you did, we're so prepared. You know, we feel we're the most prepared kids here at Notre Dame. I'm able to walk in and play. I'll be starting next week. And I said, oh, yeah, with the strength and conditioning and the other thing. And he said, no, Coach, life. The things you teach about life, the things you guys talk about with life, how important that is to you. Your message, you know, whether it's the scriptures, you know, the thoughts,
right,
the inspiration, the constant reminder of what's important and putting what's most important in front of you and not losing yourself in the moment.
Sure.
And the momentary urges. So anyway, those are the things that make high school so rewarding to me personally. And I've had, you know, three or four different offers. And I'm not opposed to it or not opposed to it, but what I have here is very special. It's going to take a lot to kind of pull out of it and do it because of the love for the kids. And then also the support and what we're able to create.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's ultimately why we go into coaching, isn't it? To make an impact on young people's lives.
Biggest thing.
No doubt. No doubt. And if you're in it for any other reason, then it'll chew you up and spit you out. And
oh, and the kids recognize it, and they don't respond.
That's absolutely right. Well, I'm sure, you know, and you know, with that, kind of that's a good segue into, with that, you know, as a young coach, you'll make lots of mistakes. I mean, you make mistakes every single day. I make mistakes every single day. What's maybe the biggest mistake that you've made with your athletes or with your administration, with your coaches? And then how did you learn from that?
So some of the biggest things early on, making decisions to program kids based on my experience, not on research or data, not being well educated in terms of an approach with the kids, overloading them. And this is what I mean. I came out of the NFL. I came in and thought, hey, everyone can train at this point or do these things.
Sure.
And overloaded kids early, you know, shut down some nervous systems.
Right.
Made some decisions that put some kids in a compromised area. And then, you know, philosophy, hey, you just got to get tougher versus, hey, we got to create more mobility in your lumbopelvic hip complex and more stability there too. Because if we don't, your spine's always going to be compromised. You're not about tough. You're just not mechanic. You're at a mechanical disadvantage.
Sure.
And you're squatting mechanic. Until we can fix that, I need to find another approach with you. A one-size-fits-all was an, you know, kind of thing that in terms of making mistakes. And the other thing, too, is sometimes I can push incredibly hard in the sake of helping a kid become his best. But I'm doing it through a way of motivation that I feel comfortable with, but right. It's not necessarily most beneficial for the kid.
Right.
And I still struggle with that, is working to find what helps the kid. If I'm here for the young man's development, I need to find the frequency that helps the young man. And I've struggled in that. I did it yesterday. I jumped on a young man. He was underneath his load. I said, I told you 40%. You're at 20% back here on your single leg squat. And you know, I dove into his character. You're an underachiever. It's this. And I see the kid's eyes get watered. And you know, I was hot and saying, dude, you're not doing this. You're not going to get away with underachieving. You're not going to be lazy. I'm not accepting it. You know, when I went back and I thought about it, there's ways that kids respond to certain criticism, and then there are ways they don't. And me having to constantly evolve in that way, those are mistakes I make.
Sure.
That I go, hey, I had to continue to evolve in this area. And it's on a continuum.
Right.
I made it early in my career in terms of pressing kids too hard, not having the best programming all the time. And still don't. But I go, and people, you know, getting hurt, and instead of backing off, they're going, nah, you just need to be able to do it.
Right.
And people getting hurt, a big mistake. And then two, the way I motivate and push and pull on young men at times, knowing when to find the kid's frequency, you know, and then also knowing when, hey, this is the standard, I'm not going underneath it. You know, I fight with that line every day.
Well, it's something I always say on the show here where, you know, you can be passionate, but without being emotional, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's something that's a big mistake with early young coaches is, you know, you love it. You chose this as a profession. So it's hard when people don't come in with that same type of focus and intensity and all that. But the reality is that they'll never love it as much as you do. That's not what they're choosing to do with their life. But you can still be passionate. You can still get your point across. So you can still hold people accountable, but you don't have to be emotional.
That's right on what you just said. I'm going to write that down too, because I got to take that. I'm half black, half Sicilian. That means I'm 100% emotion. But that's really, really good. That's right on.
Yeah,
divorcing the emotion of it and keeping the passion.
No, I agree with you.
Phenomenal.
Well, let's break it down. I mean, you've had, like you said, 7 state titles, 2 USA national titles. You know, obviously you look behind you, there's a beautiful weight room, there's tons of resources and all that, but there's lots of places with resources. What's the secret sauce? I mean, why have you been able to have so much success there from a strength and conditioning standpoint?
It's funny, Ron, we just talked about this the other day, and it was actually a reporter in. This is it. It's an uncompromising, unwavering commitment to work ethic and to building character hand in hand. The weight room is just a tool in the big picture of building a level of character, discipline, attention to detail, a number of different traits that will build these kids' lives for the rest of their lives. And we commit to those principles. And we use the weight room. I just told you to do 3 sets of 5, but with squats at 85% of your max. That's the tool. The bigger thing is, how are you going to do this? What's the level of enthusiasm?
All right.
What's the level of intensity that you bring today? What's your focus? And we're going to demand it. And if it goes underneath that, you're going to know that you're going to meet an unmovable force that's going to come in and go, now the standard doesn't change because your emotions change doesn't mean the standard changes. And so the biggest thing is, and we say it all the time, and like I said, I was talking to this reporter the other day because we're writing about the building. And I said, hey, man, the building doesn't come in January 4th, first day back into school, and start going through hypertrophy.
Right.
Or start going through movement patterns and functional movement patterns and corrective exercise training corrections and all these other different things. And I said, who else is training right now? And he looked and says, well, why don't you write about that and stop writing about the building? And we have a friendship, so we're laughing together.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, let's not write another one about the building or all the equipment that we have in there or all the money that they say Gorman has, because that's not what's lifting the weights in January.
Right.
That's not what's busting their butt and sweating it out for these 4 months, 5 months, putting 40 pounds on their bench, 50 pounds on the squat, 20 pounds on the clean, 0.2 seconds on the 40. 2 to 3 tenths of a second on the pro agility. That's not what does it, because the building's here. That kids don't get that from that.
Right.
They get from the work they put in. And I think that's the biggest thing that separates us, is that we grind, we work at an incredible pace, and we work at an incredible intensity, and we sustain that, and the kids acclimate to it, and then they start living life there.
Right.
And then from there, we go and start competing. And for me, it's the accumulation of that year after year after year. You keep separating yourself, because not everybody works that way. People give kids, go, hey, kids aren't going to come in. I can't get my kids to commit. I can't get my kids to do it routinely. I can only get them to come in 2 days a week. I can't get them to start until July. Those are the things I hear at different times that I go, yeah, I've been at a public school and a private school. We've always had the kids. When properly motivated, they come in right from the jump, January, and then they work straight through. And the other great programs that I see, they do the same thing.
Right.
January to December, 3 weeks off, and they come back and they get after it again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. We always talk about, I talk to recruits, and I'll tell them that the reason why I chose the weight room as opposed to being a position coach was because every single day you got the opportunity to develop those life skills that are going to make you a success far after football, and
that's
so you got to come with a plan. And when you get to the weight room, all of a sudden you get hit in the face with this uncomfortable workout,
Yes.
You have to respond. You have to respond to adversity. You have to respond to success. You have to work as a team. You have to set goals and modify those as you go and pivot. And it's just like a day in your life.
Yes.
And so that's exactly it. I couldn't agree with you more. Like you said, there's a lot of people that say they have great character. There's a lot of people that say they stress work ethic. Give me some specific, maybe something unique about what you guys do in the areas of character development and work ethic.
Good. So what will happen is we come in, and right when we come in, I'll usually set the tone. We'll sit down and say, hey, listen, this is where we're at now, and I'll kind of break down in the very beginning. Hey, we're going to introduce hypertrophy. There's going to be a point here where you want to quit. Whatever point you quit here, if you don't make a conscious decision to grow the next day and push it a little bit further, you'll stunt your growth. Mm-hmm. But if you do it here, this will be your approach towards life. So you're going to do it when you go on the field. You're going to go, so today, if I see you get to that point and I see you start to break, I'm going to hold you accountable. Discipline and love go hand in hand. If someone disciplines you, it's because they love you. They want to see the best for you.
Right.
Giving, that's the end. Giving love's the end, right?
Right.
I mean, because you can be harsh and be disciplined and not have that. But I tell the kids, hey, if I don't say anything, there's a problem. So what's the difference? We'll come in, and then I'll put a scripture usually up on the board. Proverbs, hey, he who loves discipline is wise, but a fool hates correction. And we'll look at it, and I'll say, hey, if you're wise, okay, this is what we're going to talk about for the week. Everything the kids do, and they have footage of it, the minute I see a kid break, and I'll say, hey, go read the board, man. Because you're getting attitude with me, but what's your attitude with? You hit a wall again, and you're mad, but who are you fighting with? And then the kids will say, myself. Yeah, yourself. Go look at the board.
Right.
This is what it feels like to be great. No, remind yourself. Okay, we do that on a daily basis. We have a talk. We do a spiritual warrior talk. And I did them at the public school I was at, where we talk about life and what it really means to love yourself and love the community around you. And then when we go into the weight room, we hold them accountable on that. Like, well, wait, you're doing it again. How are you loving the community here? And I'm not. I got it. And we do that year long. The other coaches do it too. But in the weight room for 4 months, it's like that every day.
Right.
And they're held accountable to the things that we put up there until they take shape with those things. And don't get me wrong, there's still a huge deficit in character. We teach it. We preach it. There's a group that gets it. There's another group that just fights it tooth and nail.
Right.
doesn't want to get it. Try not to give energy to that group over and over again beyond a certain point. But it's not like, because we have strong character kids, we have weak character kids that struggle with the idea that the talks just pull them into a less self-destructive disposition and make their descent slower. You know, we got kids that get kicked out for behavior things and attitude things and inappropriate action things. It's not like we're, you know, we fight to build it in, and I think it's pulled us to a certain point, but it's not like every kid here has great character.
Yeah.
let's just be real.
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, what the great thing about coaching, and like you mentioned with your tight end that went to Notre Dame. I mean, he you know, there's probably points in his career where he didn't always do everything right. But you planted seeds, and you know, and those seeds came to harvest when, you know, later on in his journey, he figured out that, you know what, I can't get away from this. I can't escape this. You know, what did coach teach me? And, you know, those things always have a way of coming back in a big, big way.
That's it.
And I couldn't agree with you more there. Well, man, hey, we always end these shows with some resources here. Give me the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Best one I ever received. One was Mike Solari. He's with Green Bay Packers now. Phenomenal coach. Love him. Best coach I'd ever been coached. One of the best coaches I've ever been around. One of the most influential guys I've ever been around. And he'd always tell me, hey, listen, you gotta love people. You know, you got to learn to love. You know, people want to know how much you care, not how much you know to some degree. And he was a guy who was always, more so than what he said to me, was the intensity that he coached me with on an everyday basis. And you know what it was more than anything, what he said, it was his example on a daily basis, spoke to me and taught me the most. And his commitment to seeing people be great, how he pulled it out, how much he thought about people's lives.
Yeah.
And how much consideration he took when he came out. He goes, hey, let's work on this today. Hey, let's get this. Let's stay after and get this in, and let's do this. And I just watched him very methodically and very carefully bring a standard expectation to me that took me from a rookie that was marginal to a guy who put himself in a position to start at the Niners and was playing at about as high end, you know, at the end of my rookie year in practice and everything like that as I ever had been.
Right.
And a lot of it was his example, his push, his driving the way he thought about things on a daily basis.
Oh, that's awesome. Important lessons right there as a future coach for sure.
Big time.
Yeah. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Book-wise, you know, one of the biggest books, I don't know, because it only falls into a certain spectrum, that I've really appreciated was the Triphasic book by Cal Dietz. Not everybody can do that. I mean, obviously you got to build general strength phases. And Functional Training by
Mike Boyle.
Mike Boyle.
Yeah.
Was another one, really good basic in terms of core stability and really baseline stuff. Getting some baseline stuff down straight. Both those books have been really good resources for me. And then the other resource I tell anybody who went to strength addition, whether it's an FMS, functional movement screen, or CES, corrective exercise specialist by NASM, are huge in terms of understanding the kinetic chain, finding deviations in that kinetic chain, force leaks in that kinetic chain, muscle length tension discrepancies in that kinetic chain, and then being able to address those in order to optimize the performance by building a great baseline.
No, that's right. I agree with you. Any apps or websites that you regularly go check out?
In terms of apps, I don't really have any apps. Website I go to is XL Athlete, which is Cal Dietz and them's, and pull the exercises out, which is an incredible platform and library for exercise. I mean, the thing's free too, so I'm like, you know, I live on that thing, looking at those resources and different ways I can kind of, you know, tweak things or add different exercises. That'd be the biggest one. That's the biggest one I go to. And then the NASM one I go to do the corrective exercise profiling, print out the sheets for our corrective exercise protocols.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Cal does a fantastic job. And then the NASM with Mike Clark and what they did early on.
Yes.
I really, really enjoyed as well. But, well, man, it's obvious to me that you are in it for the right reasons. And then obviously, you know, that's led to some fantastic successes throughout your career. So, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show and
absolutely
and sharing with everybody and just the way that you're going about your business.
Ron, I appreciate you having me on the show, buddy. I appreciate the time talking, even appreciate the things you shared.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.